Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A clergy colleague sent out an email to his friends asking them what was the most unusual Christmas gift they received. And so he got many answers back, and I'm going to read just a couple of them with you. One pastor wrote that in the 60s, an aunt asked him what he wanted for Christmas. Like all the boys in that era, he said, high karate cologne. You remember that? Yes. Supposedly, if you use that cologne, you'll be so good that you have to fight off the ladies, right? High karate. Well, the aunt looked at him kind of funny, but she didn't say anything, so he thought, well, that's what I'm going to get for Christmas. Well, lo and behold, when Christmas came, he looked under the tree, and guess what he found? He got a white terry cloth bathrobe with a black belt. The highest form of karate that she knew. High karate. Another friend from Australia, pastor named Alwyn, sent an email, and she said that when she was a preteen, an aunt from Toronto sent her a package, and in it she found a gift wrap gift with soap, washcloth, a hairbrush, shampoo, and deodorant. And she wrote, she must really think I smell. Soaps. See, I didn't know that people gave soaps for Christmas. So recently, when I was out in the malls, I noticed that there were many shops which were just for soaps. So I did some research, and I went down to our local Lush Cosmetics. These aren't your dollar store soaps, folks. I picked one called Mr. Punch, made up of gin, juniper berry, and lime. This is more expensive than filet mignon, so I could get only a sliver here, right? I'm going to have Andrew pass this around to the choir so they can get a whiff of that. They also had other kinds, but they were just too expensive for me, so I got this for Christy. It's a star. It's a bath water. Smells wonderful, right? Andrew, could you pass this to the choir? They can enjoy this. Don't take her home with you now. But here's the even greater surprise. In the Bible readings that we had this morning from Malachi and Luke, guess what God is preparing to give us for Christmas? You got it. Soap. Did you know that? Malachi says, the messenger is coming, and he is compared to a fuller's soap. Now, fuller in olden days was someone who washed wool, right? They used soap to make it clean so that they could make a more fluffier clothing and so on. He's bringing soap for us. But then also in Luke, this messenger does come, and he's a person of John the Baptist, and guess what he's bringing? He has a huge bar of soap standing by, huge body of water, the River Jordan, to wash people. Soap. But they come to wash human hearts, aren't they? Earlier, I introduced my dog, Evie, to you. I hope you say hello to her. And when you say hello, you'll realize that she smells beautiful. Because the number one rule of being a therapy dog is that before you meet your customers, you have to have a bath. So last night, I gave her her regular bath, rinsed her, soaped her up, shampooed her, and then rinsed her, put a conditioner on her, and rinsed her, and then wrapped her in towel for an hour, and then got the hair dryer, and then I handed over to Christy, who groomed her for an hour, right? So that's it. She just got some water and some soap, and she's beautiful, right? She didn't have to do anything. She smells wonderful. She's now ready to do her service. She was fit for her service. The most important thing about preparing for Christmas, it seems to me, is that along with the house and the deck and the tree, that this trimming, decorating, it is our hearts that needs to be prepared. Well, what's wrong with our hearts anyway? Not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart the Bible talks about. God keeps sending his messengers constantly to remind them to get your heart right. What's wrong with our hearts? We sometimes, even in church, we look at the world and it's very easy for us to tell the world something is wrong out there and we blame them. We look at our church or our own lives or anything and it is very easy for us to blame others for the condition we're in. Jesus talks about this. He says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Ouch. That hurts. But Jesus says that our lack of love hurts people even more when our heart is not ready. Furthermore, even when we do good in God's name, we must make sure that our intentions are pure and love-driven and authentic. Apostle Paul doesn't mince his words when he says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burnt as a martyr, but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. So this is a question directed to our own hearts. How is our heart? There's only one law that Jesus said that all the prophets and messengers spoke, right? Luke 10:27. Hear, O people, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. How is our love life? How has our heart been perfected in love? At the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters, according to the Bible. Charlotte was an outgoing and funny member of our church who suddenly died at age of 63 in her sleep. It was a fall. That Christmas Eve was very cold in New Jersey. We were ready to start the 11 o'clock candlelight service when an usher came up and whispered in my ear that there was a woman in the parking lot and she wanted to see me. Well, the time was getting close, so I signaled Christy to go out and see what's wrong. Well, Christy didn't come back until after the service. Later on, she told me that Charlotte's daughter, Margie, was in the parking lot in her car, crying. She had come to the church, but she couldn't come inside the church because she felt guilty. Charlotte, her mom, had divorced early, so she kept telling her, please marry the right guy. But as it happened, she also married a man who was not very kind to her or to her kids. So her mom tried her very best to help her, but they always ended up fighting. So the week before Charlotte passed, they had a nasty fight. She died before she had a chance to say, Mom, I'm sorry. I love you. She felt guilty. So she had come to the parking lot knowing that her mom would have come into the sanctuary on Christmas Eve, but she couldn't make herself come into the sanctuary. Christy said that she told her that if Charlotte was there, she would have told her, come on in, I've already forgiven you. Come in and be happy. Come in and receive the love that I have for you. What can you do this week? Just one thing, to get ready for Christmas, to prepare our hearts. The Bible says we can confess. We can wash our hearts with spiritual soap. Do you need to tell God, God, forgive me. Give me another chance. Is there someone you need to say, I'm sorry, it's my fault? Is there someone who needs to hear from you, I forgive you, I love you? Or is it that you need to tell yourself this Advent, it's okay, you can try again? It only takes a confession from our mouth, from our hearts, to get the ball rolling, to start our spiritual cleansing of this spiritual soap that God has given us. These three words, I'm sorry, I forgive you, I love you, these are the spiritual soap that God offers us this Christmas. Once you start using this soap, you experience a brand new feeling. You'll be fitted for God's service, and you will be ready to live in this new world of shalom that God is bringing in our midst. If there's something we are doing that is making our hearts sick, if there are things in our lives that are keeping us from that brand new feeling of being washed spiritually, if there are words or actions that have built up walls between us and others, let us confess them before God. Let us take this spiritual soap that God is offering us and really use it for a new heart, ready to love. Let us join me. Please join me in a time of confession, and then we will join together in a word of confession. Let us pray. Let us join together in the confession and words of confession as we will find in our screen. Let us confess together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we confess our sins, the Bible tells us, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the gracious and merciful God grant us forgiveness of all our sins, give us true repentance and the transformation of life, the grace and consolation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As James sings, wade in the water, let God's Spirit cleanse your heart and fill you and fill our world with the spiritual bubbles of joy, grace, and love. Amen.